Today we're building a Brick Lab-style riser system in Ableton Live 12, but not the shiny festival kind. We're making something that belongs in jungle, old-school DNB, rollers, and dark drop lead-ins. The whole point here is movement, texture, and tension, with crisp transients up top and dusty mids in the body, while keeping the low end out of the way. So instead of reaching for a generic synth riser, we're going to build this from break-derived material. That matters, because in drum and bass, especially jungle and older styles, the best transitions often feel like they grew out of the drums themselves. The riser should sound related to the groove, not pasted on top of it. First, load a break loop, a single hit, or a short percussion chop into Simpler on a new MIDI track. If you've got an Amen fragment, a dusty rim, a ride slice, or even a noisy hit from your sample stash, that's perfect. In Simpler, use Classic Mode, place the start point on a transient or a noisy tail, and leave warp off unless you really need it. If the source is too clean, duplicate it and pitch the duplicate down a few semitones, maybe -5 to -12, to bring in some dust. A useful trick here is to keep the source short. You're not trying to play a full loop for minutes. You want a little fragment, maybe a 1/8 to 1/4 bar section, something with identity that can be stretched into motion. If it clicks too hard, add a tiny fade. That little cleanup goes a long way. Now we'll build the transient layer. Duplicate that simpler track, or add another simpler in the same rack, and make this version all about attack and urgency. Trim it down to a tiny slice or a clicky fragment, then shape the amp envelope fast. We're talking near zero attack, short decay, no sustain, and a short release. You want it to feel punchy and controlled, not wash out. After simpler, add drum bus. Keep the boom low or off, then use a little drive and a little crunch. The key control here is transients. Push it up enough to give the layer a sharp edge, but not so much that it turns into a brittle click. If it gets too spiky, put a glue compressor after it and let it grab just a few dB. A gentle clamp can make the transient feel more intentional and less harsh. This layer is the little spark that makes the build feel alive. In a jungle arrangement, it can act like the tick that pulls the listener toward the next snare, fill, or bass switch. Now for the dusty mid layer. This is where the old school character really lives. Use another chopped break slice, or resample the first layer and reload that into simpler. The reason to resample is simple. Once you print it, the sound starts behaving more like audio and less like a clean instrument. That can give you a more sampled, worn, and convincing texture. For this layer, add auto filter, saturator, EQ8, and if you want a little more grime, a very subtle redux. Start the filter as a band pass or low pass, somewhere in the low to mid range, and automate it upward later. Then add saturator with a few dB of drive and soft clip turned on. The goal is not obvious distortion. The goal is warmth, density, and that slightly broken up sampler character. Use EQ8 to high pass the low end, usually around 120 to 200 HE, so this layer stays out of the sub. If the upper mids get harsh, trim a little around 2.5 to 5 kHz. If it feels boxy, carve out some 300 to 600 HE. This is the part where you're making room for the kick, snare, and bass line, while keeping the riser's body intact. If you want a more tape-worn flavor, add redux very gently, just enough to roughen the edges, not enough to turn it into a lo-fi effect. We're after texture, not a gimmick. Now group both layers into an instrument rack. This is where the idea becomes a reusable system. Map your macros so you can shape the whole build from one place. A strong setup would be rise time for the filter movement, dust for drive or bit reduction, attack snap for transient emphasis, width for stereo control, tail length for release or reverb behavior, and tone for overall brightness or filter center. A really useful macro move is to link both layers' filters to the same rise time macro, but let the transient layer stay a little brighter than the dusty layer. That way, as the riser opens up, both layers move together, but the transient layer keeps its edge. The dusty layer can start lower and open more slowly, which gives the whole build a nice layered contour. At this point, save the rack. Give it a name you'll actually recognize later. Something like BL Riser Break Dust 174 or Jungle Break Rise Rack. That sounds boring, but when you're deep in a DNB session and need a tension tool fast, naming saves time. Now comes the real musical part. Automation. A good DNB riser is rarely just one smooth curve. It usually feels like a few phases, so think about your riser in stages. Start dry and controlled. Then let the mid-range swell. Then tighten it up near the end. And finally give it a burst or cut right before the drop. In arrangement view, draw a build over 1, 2, 4, or even 8 bars depending on the section. A great starting shape is a slow first half, stronger movement in the middle, a tension spike near the end, and then hard cut or impact on the drop. You can automate the filter cutoff from a few hundred HC up into the several KHC range. You can slowly increase saturator drive. You can bring in reverb or delay only on the final beat or two, so the riser doesn't drown the mix. And here's a teacher note that matters a lot. Think movement, not length. A 2-bar riser can feel huge if it has distinct phases. A 4-bar riser can feel boring if nothing changes. So don't just draw one perfect diagonal line and call it done. Add a plateau. Add a push. Add a final accent. That's what makes it feel designed. To make it feel more like DNB and less like generic EDM, add some rhythmic motion. You can do this with autopan, gate, or by chopping the audio clip itself. Autopan with phase set to 0 becomes a tremolo-style pulse. Keep the amount subtle, maybe around 15-35%, and sync it to eighths, sixteenths, or triplets depending on the vibe. That can give the build a nervous, breathing motion. Gate works nicely on the dusty layer if you want a clipped, pumpy build. Or you can slice the audio into little chunks and manually vary the endpoints. That's especially good for old-school jungle, because it feels like the break is being teased apart in real time. One important warning here. Don't turn the riser into a drum fill. If you add too many slices or too much rhythmic detail, the listener stops hearing rising tension and starts hearing a busy edit. Leave enough space for the drop to actually solve the phrase. The riser should support the drums, not compete with them. Now let's clean up the mix side. Put EQ8 on the full riser system, if needed, and high pass the whole thing around 150-250 HE. Check mono too. Indeed NB, especially dark styles, low-end discipline is huge. The riser can have some width in the mids and highs, but the low end should be gone unless you intentionally want a bass riser hybrid. If the build gets brittle, dip a little in the upper highs. If it sounds boxy, trim the low mids. If you want width, do it carefully, and preferably on the dusty layer rather than the transient layer. The transient layer should stay focused. The dusty layer can spread a bit more. Once the automation feels right, resample the best version to audio. This is a big intermediate move because it lets you commit, edit, and shape the final gesture. Bounce the full riser, and if needed, also print the last 2 bars or the final impact separately. Then trim the start, clean any clicks, fade the tail, and line the final rise up right before the drop. A strong DNB transition often works best when the riser sits under a drum fill, then disappears right as the kick and sub come back in. That tiny contrast makes the drop feel bigger. You can even leave a micro vacuum right before the impact, by briefly pulling the volume down or muting one layer for a split second. That little void can hit harder than adding more sound. Here's a really useful coach note. Use velocity as hidden automation if you're triggering the riser with MIDI. Map velocity to cutoff or volume in Simpler, then play a few different note velocities instead of drawing one straight automation line. That can make the source feel more human and sample chopped. Also, keep one element deliberately underwhelming. If the transient layer is aggressive, let the dusty layer stay modest. If the texture is filthy, keep the attack cleaner. That contrast is what makes the design readable. If you want to go a step further, try a reverse dust lift. Resample the dusty layer, reverse it, and feed it through a bandpass filter with some gentle resonance. That gives you a haunted, tape-like rise that works really well before a dark reese or a chopped break entrance. Another good variation is a multi-stage rack where the build moves in steps instead of one continuous curve, dry and filtered first, then saturated and mid-forward, then brighter and wider right at the end. For a quick practical exercise, build a 2-layer system right now. One break chop for the transient layer. One noise leak or dusty percussion hit for the body. Add drum boss to the transient layer, then saturator and auto filter to the dusty layer. Group them, map the main macros, and draw a 4-bar automation pass. Slow start, stronger rise in bar 3, final push in bar 4. Then resample it and place it before a snare fill in a 174 BPM loop. The goal is to make it sound like it belongs before a jungle drop, a roller switch, or a dark bass entrance without needing a ton of extra polish. So to recap, the core idea is this. Build your riser from break-based material, split it into crisp transient and dusty mid layers, shape the motion with clear automation, keep the low end under control, and resample it into something you can place directly in the arrangement. That's the Break Lab mindset. Not just making a riser, but making a real DNB transition tool that feels alive, gritty, and ready to push the drop.